Hello and welcome to the Florida CPA Today podcast with Mia Thomas, former chair of the FICPA and current director of learning curriculum development for the FICPA. And now it's time to hear from your host, Mia Thomas.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. Today we will discuss what the heck is EOS and is it right for me? Now you may be asking, what is EOS? The bottom line is everyone in your organization needs to be moving in the same direction. And how do we accomplish that? When we say everyone, that includes your salespeople, consultants, field representatives, the receptionist, owners, the accountant, you name it. We could probably even apply EOS to our clubs, social organizations, even parts of it may apply to our households. So why do we need EOS? Well, with me today is John King. He is the CEO and EOS implementer of the company Drive, Leadership and Management Coaching. John will be one of our featured speakers at our upcoming FICPA University of South Florida Accounting Conference, and we are thrilled to have this topic for the first time ever taught at a conference. John, thank you for being our guest on today's podcast.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
John, we met a little over 5 years ago while you were completing your accounting degree and you were the COO and strategist for a film production company. John, can you share with our listeners about yourself and why you got involved with EOS?
Yeah, so I have been entrepreneurial really my whole life. Started very young, started playing music when I was 8, started writing music at a very young age, and started pulling together bands and playing shows, and we started playing clubs and fraternities before we were legally supposed to, and just loved it. And that's what I ended up really doing for 15 years or so professionally. So recording and touring, leading bands. And then in 2005, you know, music was really a big piece of my life. In 2005, I got the opportunity to go to Kenya in East Africa and was asked to teach music over there for a few weeks. Did it, didn't really know what to expect, and just really had this amazing experience. Fell in love with the place, fell in love with the people. A few years later, had an opportunity to help start, co-found a nonprofit ministry that is in East Africa, in Kenya, called PNUA. Now it's called INUA, and you know it well.
Yes, I'm the incoming chair, and I love it so much.
Exactly, our shared passion. So the program does a lot of things, but its core for me, it helps orphans and vulnerable children become entrepreneurs. And for me, seeing that happen in real time was an extremely powerful experience. It's impacted thousands of lives in Kenya, but it's also impacted thousands of lives in the U.S. And it was, for me, this spark, this light bulb went off where I got to see an entrepreneur up close, the impact an entrepreneur really can have on their community, on their family, on their own life. And so that really stayed with me. Anyway, so we knew we needed to promote this new program, so I decided I was going to direct a few short films. I had never done this before. I had no experience doing this, but I knew we needed to tell the story of these kids. And so I shot these films, but I knew that I couldn't edit them, so we hired a production company to edit them. They did a great job. They helped us raise a bunch of money with our films and raise awareness. Yeah, so I became really good friends with the CEO of that production company of Strong Films. And a few years later, he reached out to me and said, hey, my company's stuck. I want to grow it. I want to do more than what we're doing right now. Would you be interested in coming on and running my company? He's a creative. He didn't want to run the company, so he was looking for somebody to run his company. And I said, absolutely, let's do it. I'm always up for a new challenge. And so came in, had never run a production company before. And so anyway, a friend of mine had given me a copy of Traction, which talks about EOS, which is the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which is what EOS stands for. And I really used that as my blueprint to run the company. And so we did. We broke through that ceiling. We grew the company. And we did a lot of really cool stuff. So we did two things. We did commercials and we did films. Did commercials for Disney and Universal Studios Orlando, Publix, a lot of big brands locally, Orlando City Soccer. And then we also wrote and produced a feature-length film called Long Time Coming that was picked up by Netflix and is now streaming on Netflix and on Amazon Prime. So we had a ball. We did a bunch of really fun things. But we all decided after our feature film release that we all wanted to keep doing new things. And so earlier this year, I started Drive, doing leadership and management coaching. And really what I do primarily is implement EOS. And for me, it was combining my passion for leadership and coaching, creativity, EOS, and really smash those things together and drew back on that spark of the experience I had in Kenya to really help entrepreneurial leaders be as successful as possible. So that's what I do now.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know if you know, but the FICPA, we implemented the EOS this past year, and it has been great that our organization developed team strategies, and we monitor on a weekly, and every 2 weeks we get together. So our teams, we discuss and we implement short and long-term goals. We review them, and these goals, we call them rocks. And John, you can relate that these rocks may seem large and heavy and bold, but we know that we can push through them. So John, I know in going through the EOS system that we have six key components of the EOS model. Can you share with our listeners those six key elements?
Yeah, so when I work with a company's leadership team, what I'm doing is I'm taking them on about a two-year journey to strengthen the six key components of their business. And so I'll just walk through the six key components at a high level. First is the vision component, and that's all about getting everybody in your organization 100% on the same page with where you're going and how you plan to get there. What I love about the EOS process is, you know, people talk a lot about vision, and we hear about vision, we hear about mission statements, we hear about things like that all the time. This is really not that. It's much more comprehensive. It actually has teeth to it. So what we're trying to do is we're going to answer eight questions with your leadership team. What are your core values, which is your culture, and we use them to hire and fire, reward, recognize. What is your core focus, which is your sweet spot? What do you love to do? What are you best at doing in your market? Third question is, what is your 10-year target? That's like your big, hairy, audacious goal. That's your moon landing. What do you want out of your business that's scary?
The BHAG,
right? Mm-hmm. We've heard it. And I like my favorite word in the BHAG is audacious. So it should be audacious. It should scare you a little bit. Should cause some hives to break out a little bit. But it should be something you really want. And then, so the fourth question is, what is your marketing strategy? And that's really about simplifying your messaging, identifying your ideal prospect, and just simplifying your messages to them to make sure you're getting the biggest return on investment with your sales and marketing efforts. Then we really start bringing it down to the ground. What is your three-year picture? What is your one-year plan? What are your 90-day rocks? And really, my favorite part of it is, what is your issues list? What are your issues? What are your obstacles that are standing in the way of you actually achieving that vision? And we get that stuff out, and it's amazing when you really get those things out. It's kind of like a therapy session. We can recognize and actually see what the obstacles are for the first time. And so once we get that all in place, we get that in a two-page, very simplified business plan called the Vision Traction Organizer. And once that's done, then we just have to get that shared by all and really get everybody rowing in the same direction. So that's how we get the vision component strong.
And this vision has a timeline, correct?
Right. So we're going to look at vision. When we say vision, we're looking at vision over 10 years, but we're also bringing it down to 3 years, 1 year. And when we say 90-day rocks, rocks really are your 90-day business priorities. We're trying to get the whole organization to live in what we call a 90-day world. Mm-hmm. Because it's really hard to stay focused on anything beyond 90 days. Going back to making films, making a film is a long-term, big commitment. We have to break things down into smaller chunks. If we focus on the end goal too much, we actually get completely overwhelmed. So that's really kind of the same thing. So 90-day rocks is about creating this 90-day world for the organization to live in, and that starts at the leadership team level. So we're looking at company level 90-day rocks, which are 3 to 7 priorities for the company over the next 90 days. Each person on the leadership team, but then we cascade that all the way down to where every single person in the organization is going to have between 1 and 3 rocks to stay focused on over the next 90 days. So yeah, so when we're looking at our vision or our plan to achieve that vision, it's not just a mission statement. It's really, what are we doing over the next 10 years, 3 years, 1 year, next 90 days?
And at that 90-day mark, if we don't hit those rocks, we push them into the next level.
Well, the goal is that you're hitting them. Right? So when you're working with an implementer like me, really the key is, my job is to help you become good at what we call predicting. And so we don't just toss out rocks and hope we hit them. We're putting things down that we're saying we're going to hit them. And so we're going to have to say that we're going to have to get 80% or better every 90 days at hitting our rocks. And that's how we know we're going to stay on track for our 1 year, 3 year, 10 year goals. Right? And so we want to make sure that we're not setting goals that we can't hit, or just setting kind of pie in the sky goals, because then ultimately people will become defeated when we're setting goals that we don't hit. So my job is to really help the team become good at it.
Hence the word traction.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yep. The second key component is the people component. And at a very high level, you just can't achieve a great vision without great people. So we have to define, what are great people for your unique organization? We define great people as right people, people that have your core values in the right seats. So right people, right seats. Right seats are people that are absolutely awesome at their job. So you could have right people who fit the culture, fit the core values, in the right seats, people who are great at your job. We have to have both of those. And we actually give you tools to make sure that you get right people, right seats.
Have you ever seen where you have the right people in the right seats versus the right seats with the wrong people?
Absolutely.
Or you have a position that you're trying to fill and you put it with a person.
Yeah, so there's different combinations that we'll see. A lot of times we'll see right people in the wrong seats. So people that fit your core values, that really should be a part of the team if possible. They fit. You love being around them, but they don't really fit the role they're in. And so we say that there's a couple of options with them, with people like that. One, if you can find them a role, keep them, because you want to keep great people. If you can't, this is when we push to make tough leadership decisions, because we can't just keep somebody around because we like them. And so if they're a right person, but we cannot find the right seat, push leadership team to make a tough people decision and make sure that we're getting both right people in right seats. Then we also see this frequently, just saw it with a client, right seat, wrong person, right? So they have the skills, they have the abilities to do the job well, but they don't fit the culture. And we basically take a pretty firm approach at that. You give people time, potentially, to come up to the level that they need to be in the behaviors of the culture. But ultimately, if they don't fit the culture, they're probably going to find a better fit at some other company. So the third key component is the data component. And this is really all about decision making. So the problem with most growth-oriented companies is decisions are made based off egos, how we've always done it in the past, those types of things, right? We've always heard that. Well, that's how we've always done it, right? And that leads to inconsistent, bad decision making. So the way we approach it is, once the vision is clarified, you got right people in the right seats, you don't have to micromanage great people. So we want to make decisions based off data, and we want to make it off based off a handful of objective data that gives us an absolute pulse on the business. And we use a few tools to make sure you're making a decision based off data and not subjective emotions and feelings and things like that. So once the vision component is clear and the people component is clear and the data component is clear, all of your issues, all of your stuff, all your impurities are jumping out at you, and every organization has them. And so the fourth key component we just call the issues component. Issues component, I love this component because this is really all about solving your problems as they arise and really solving them at the root and making them go away forever. So we push really hard to, one, create a high trust, open culture where people anywhere in the organization can raise their hand and say, hey, we've got an issue somewhere. The key is then we teach the companies how to prioritize those issues at different levels in the organization and solve them at the root, make them go away forever, so that these barriers that are potentially standing in the way of achieving their vision are no longer barriers. The fifth key component is the process component. Process component really is all about doing the right things, or the most important things, the right and best way every single time, right? So this thing's more consistent, more manageable, more fun. And I think the best way to think about this is kind of like your franchise model. This is how you create the way you do things. And this is what allows you to scale. So the process component tends to be the most undervalued, because especially for entrepreneurs, they don't want to focus on process too much. But this is how you take a company from, say, like a Starbucks, from being a one-off or a two-off store to, okay, well, if we can figure out how to do the most important things the right and best way every time, we can start opening up stores around the world or something like that. That may not be what you want to do with your business, but it allows you to scale to whatever degree you want. And then the last key component, definitely really where it all comes together, is the traction component. I mean, this is the point of what we're getting to, is if we don't get this component 100% strong, then the other components really don't work. So this is about bringing the vision down to the ground, executing on it with discipline and accountability every single day. And there are tools we help put in to the organization. Rocks is one of them. Other tools that help make sure that the company is actually achieving what they said their vision is going to be. And no doubt, this, it's difficult, it's work, but it proves time and time again to work when people commit to the process. And so we like to say that vision without traction is hallucination. All right.
That's great. Now, for the EOS system, do you do all six of these at a one sit down or a couple days, or you do a piece of it and then you figure it out? What is the plan on implementing an EOS?
Yeah, so usually when there's a couple ways you can go at implementing EOS, you can do it yourself and just kind of self-implement, you know, read the books in the Traction library and pick out what works for you. The most effective way is to work with an outside implementer like me. And we take you through a very structured process to layer in the tools over the course of about 2 years to get maximum effect. So really what happens is we start with a full day session called the Focus Day, and we're going to put in the Traction tools. And these tools are really designed to help lay the foundation. So we actually do Traction first and then Vision second. Traction is to make sure that you have the foundation built to actually put your vision on top of and so that it can run. And so then we do the Focus Day, which is all about Traction, and then we go into 2 vision building day sessions 30 days later. So after the Focus Day, we'll come back together for what we call vision building day 1. That's when we start answering those 8 questions that I talked about earlier. We take a break, we get as far as we can, take 30 days for you to implement the tools, implement the work we've done, come back about 30 days later and do something what we call vision building day 2. That's when we finish answering the 8 questions of your vision. Then we go into your quarterlies and annuals. And basically, I'm running the quarterlies and annuals for the team for about 2 years. So the process is give or take about 2 years, or as long as the company needs in order to master the process and then graduate from the process. And then when you're working with an outside implementer, our goal is not to stay with you forever. It's really just to help you master the process, get out of your way, and let you run the business. So all told, it usually takes about 2 years to go through the process. And a lot of the value that you get with working with an outside implementer is they can see what you can't.
Right.
I mean, that's really the key, is they can see the dynamics that are happening in the team that you can't or are just unwilling to call out. They can help make sure that everything is done at the highest standard so you get the maximum return on investment for the time, but also the finances you put into implementing Traction.
So first of all, it's an expert that's coming in, and that's what they know, like you, that's what you do. You know Traction, you know EOS. That's a number one plus. And the other thing, as you did mention, is an outsider looking in, because sometimes you don't see it yourself. Plus, you've got that independent person that's giving advice versus, you know, he said, she said, or whatever. You have this independent discussion that, oh, this is what I'm seeing. This is how I can help. And they may not be seeing that.
Exactly. It's kind of like trying to take yourself to therapy, right? It's hard to do. And so when you go with somebody who you trust, who has your best interest at heart, is going to help lead you maybe through some of the tough conversations you need to have, but really put the foundations in place to be successful.
That's great. We know it's so critical that everyone be involved with their teams on an EOS. I know from my experience at the FICPA, we have level 10 meetings every 2 weeks with our directors, and I have a weekly meeting with my team. Can you share with our listeners what a level 10 meeting is?
Yeah, so one of the tools we use to gain traction that's really in the Traction component is something called the level 10 meeting agenda. Really powerful, simple tool that helps take your meetings from a level, say, 4. So when I meet with companies for the first time, I ask them to rank the quality of their meetings. And often what I hear is, and I say rank them 1 to 10, and they usually say 4 or 5, and they usually disagree on the quality of their meetings. Usually the person running the meeting thinks they're better than everybody else, right? But most people can agree that most meetings are poorly run. Meetings tend to feel like a waste of time for most people.
Like you cannot get that hour back in your life.
Yeah, and so people avoid meetings like the plague, which is a big problem, because that's actually how we keep our circles connected. That's how we keep making sure that we're staying on track as a team. So meetings are crucial. They just need to be really well run. So yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to help take that level 4 that you said up to a level 10. And what we're going to do is basically do that by not wasting people's time and really getting directly to the most important issues facing the company or the team, prioritizing those issues, solving them at the root every week, and making them go away forever, right? So it helps people actually enjoy being in meetings, which is huge. So people can walk out of a meeting saying, you know, that was a tough meeting, we talked about some tough stuff, but I know we attacked the most important things, we attacked the elephants in the room, whatever it was, now we have a plan to solve them. People come out energized knowing that we're not just gonna talk this thing to death the next 2 years or avoid it for 2 years. We dealt with it, we're moving forward, and we're staying on track.
And so at the end of our meetings, we actually all give it a grade of a 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. And statistically, people won't give it a 10 because they're like, it wasn't perfect. Like, what is perfect? But it is good to see that it actually gives us an average of how we did for the meeting. And we can improve on it. So if we gave it a 7, we'll say, well, why is it a 7? So that's a really good tool to getting it to a 10 the next time.
Right. Yeah. Rating the meetings is crucial because it tells the team objectively, how did we do today in this meeting? And we always want to shoot for an 8 or better. You know, it's tough to have a perfect meeting every time, but we're looking for an 8 or better, 9s, 10s, so that we make sure that we're having really well-run meetings. So can I actually say something about issues?
Sure.
What's critical when you're in the level 10 meeting, the bulk of the meeting time is really spent listing your biggest issues, prioritizing them, and then taking them in order of priority that we need to solve this week. And the key is really to make sure that you not go through them too quickly. We want to really make sure that we're getting down to the root issue. So what tends to happen is people just start discussing and trying to solve an issue they haven't perfectly defined. Einstein said that if I have an hour to solve a problem, I'm probably going to spend about 55 minutes trying to just figure out what the problem is. And so a lot of times what we find is that people haven't actually gotten to the root cause of the issue first. So we follow this process called IDS, which is identify the issue. Only once you've identified the core issue, then do you discuss. So D is discuss. Discuss right. The issue without politicking, without being redundant, without grandstanding. And then once you've come up with a plan of attack, then you move to solve. S is solve. And that's where you come up with the 1, 2, 3 action items that are going to make that issue go away forever.
So if I heard you correctly, because we do this, so we may talk about an item or we see an item on the list, but we know that we need to get like really down deep into the meat of it. And then we move it down to this issues section of our discussion. So we'll talk about the high level stuff first, and then we'll come down to the issues items and then spend a good amount of time on those issues.
Correct. So the level 10 meeting agenda, basically it's a time management tool that's helping you get through the reporting aspects of your meeting quickly. So most meetings are poorly run. And we spend 30 minutes, everybody just kind of going around the table, reporting and saying things that are irrelevant. We jump through that very quickly. In the first 10, maybe 15 minutes, we get all that stuff. We look at our numbers. We look at our making sure our employees and our customers are happy. We're looking at our rocks, our 90-day priorities. And we're just making sure all that stuff's on track. Then we want to get down to the bulk of the meeting, which is the issue solving, because that's where you actually gain traction.
John, so let's go a little bit further in EOS. What would be the first step that an organization would need to do to implement EOS?
See, step one is, if you haven't already, go get the book Traction by Gino Wickman. He's the founder of EOS. He created EOS. And that is really the best book that will give you a really in-depth overview of what the EOS process looks like. Another great book is What the Heck is EOS, which is what the name of this podcast is titled after. And that's a little shorter book that's more geared towards employees. It doesn't go in quite as much details, but it's a quicker read, also a really good resource. They'll both give you a great high-level overview of the process. You can actually visit my website for free downloads of chapter one of each of those books, so you can go check that out. Step two, if after you read those books or after you listen to this podcast, you are really interested in taking the next step, reach out to me. I'd come in, meet with the leadership team, and give you what we call a 90-minute meeting, which is just a very detailed overview of how we would implement EOS in your business and help. And from that point, you would really have everything you need to know to see if it's a good fit for the company. And then step three, if you decide to move forward, I would work directly with your leadership team to implement the process and the tools. And then at the right time, your leadership team would roll out EOS to every team and every person in the organization.
I think every organization would want to be better. I mean, and again, you don't know what you don't know until
right.
you know it. So I just love this EOS. I've read What the Heck is EOS
yeah.
book. I've read your Traction book that you shared with me on how to be implementing the EOS in a very good way. Anyway, you know where I'm going with that.
I do. You know, when the very first day I meet with a leadership team, I ask them, are you ready and willing to become your best? And that's really what this process is about, is helping you become your best as a leader, as a leadership team. Set expectations. It's a journey. And like any journey, there's ups and downs. It's challenging. Anything worthwhile is absolutely challenging. So we don't go out and say EOS is easy. We say it's worth it. And it's going to help you become your best as a leader. It's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you and your leadership team to become their best. And so we ask at the very beginning, are you ready and willing to become your best? And if you are, this process can get you there.
And I'd like to say that everybody's a leader. Right, they're a leader in their household,
Absolutely.
They're a leader at their school, And they may not be the president, but they're still leading. And so you can actually apply this to anything in your life. You can apply it, again, as I said earlier, your clubs that you're in, your to your community. So I just love that you've shared this with us, John. And it's very important that I think everybody can improve themselves.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. Thank you, John, for your time today and sharing with us the entrepreneurial operating system and some traction ideas. Can you share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. I would say four ways. One, you can just email me, john@driveandgrow.com. So that's john@driveandgrow.com. You can just call me, 321-274-3490. Love to chat. You want to just talk about EOS, would love to do that. Third, find me on LinkedIn, shoot me a note, would love to connect that way. And then fourth, you can visit my website at driveandgrow.com to learn more about EOS and find some helpful resources.
Nice. Now, John, we are looking forward to having you teach at our conference and seminars. If you would like to learn more about having John implement EOS for your organization or to learn more on this subject, the FICPA has courses, seminars, conferences, and resources on how to transform you and your organization for the future. Visit us at www.ficpa.org or call 850-224-2727 to learn more. Until next time, keep smiling.
Continue the conversation with the Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Become a member and follow us on social media for today's trends and hot topics.